Chatting it up once again, you and I on Tuesday, July 9th, 2024 on Connecticut Today, where we looked again at the breaking news surrounding pressure on President Joe Biden to drop out of the 2024 White House race. Landmark Legal Foundation attorney and VP of Legal Affairs Mike O'Neill dropped by again to talk about the possibility, though remote, of using the Constitution's 25th Amendment to remove President Biden from office should he become incapacitated.
Every morning after the, since the debate, rather, about a week and change ago, almost 2 weeks ago, I wake up in the morning and I stare at the ceiling in my master bedroom in my condo. And I look up and I say, hello, ceiling. And the ceiling goes, hello, Paul. How are you this morning? Quite fine. And I wonder, you know, who's going to say what today about this situation that we're in that just... Boy, the more you think about it, you talk about a negative universe, a strange, mirrored, altered universe. I don't know how else you can say it. An altered reality of what is going on here since that debate. And I say, well, I'm sure everybody has had their say now. Well, apparently they haven't. I go and sit down at one of my PCs in my casa, and I say, okay, what's hot this morning? What do I maybe want to talk about this afternoon with you folks? Who should I get for guests? And I go, one of the sites I check, and I have about 15 or 20 sites already pulled up in the morning where I go, okay, bing, bang, boom, click, click, click. Okay, Fox, MSNBC, The Huffington Post, Drudge, what's the buzz? So I go to the Wall Street Journal today, which again, is a wonderful publication. Boy, one of the best things Rupert Murdoch ever did was to buy the Journal, modernize it. It still does great financial news, but their political coverage, their lifestyle coverage, their features, their magazines, good as, if not better, than the New York Times. So I see, you know, they splash the top of their splash page, I should say, left to right, almost half the page, with a big picture. In fact, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm seeing, you know, a profile of Joe Biden being surrounded by his wife in the front. And I don't know who that is in the back. It's from a recent appearance, and he's kind of got that blank stare on his face. And you read this just on the morning when I wake up and I say, okay, now everybody has talked. Well, apparently not. And they're still talking. How Joe Biden's, I'm just going to give you the headline here. I'm not going to go into it deeply because we've been going over this day after day after day. But I feel the need, when everything else going on is kind of secondary here, I feel the need to let you know that one of the major parties in this country is all for reelecting a man who is the leader of the free world, who is clearly limited. I mean, you don't have to be any type of geriatric expert, any type of aging expert, any type of neurological expert, any type of hospitalist, or anyway, to look at this and say, there's something wrong. It ain't the same guy. Here's the headline. I'm going to give you just the two headlines, because that's all you need. That's all you need. And the headlines play into something even bigger. I got to tell you something. If Donald Trump is elected, which, I don't know, still 50-50, there's some polling news that you may have heard there, top of the hour, apparently Hillary Clinton would be Donald Trump. She ain't running. Kamala Harris? Now she's leading. But anyway, if Mr. Trump wins, or even if he doesn't, and the Republicans win the Senate or they control the House, I want to see people brought in front of a House committee, in front of a Senate committee, and I want them asked point blank. Now, I know what they're going to say. They can't comment because of national security. I want them to be asked and to respond to questions point blank about how there was and who initiated an organized cover-up of the president's condition. I'm not blaming him. again, we're all going to get old at different rates, through different reasons, disease, natural occurrences, hopefully, and hopefully it's later than sooner. But these top two headlines here on the Wall Street Journal, how Biden's inner circle worked to keep signs of aging under wraps. The sub-headline, the smaller headline, is known in the print medium. Aides kept a tight rein on the president's travel plans, news conferences, public appearances, and meetings with donors while Biden's stumbles became increasingly obvious. Now, let me ask you something. And I know what you're going to say, and I can see this kind of argument. Well, they're bound by agreements they signed, and you cannot breach security. Because the health of any world leader, a president of the U.S., a prime minister of Canada, the president of Italy, the prime minister of Spain, all that stuff, the president of Russia, Xi Jinping in China, all this stuff is considered when national security things are happening and when consideration is made of how to approach a leader. Can you imagine just for 1 minute? And I always do this because you know what the answer is. I feel I have to do this because if you are a fair-minded person, you have to agree with me. Can you imagine if this was a Republican or Donald Trump or anybody else on the Republican side of things, and you had a Republican president who was shielded and strategies were put in place, as the Biden White House did, to keep the media from getting video and photos of Mr. Biden walking by himself, a strategy to have somebody from the White House controlling the microphone at certain events. Can you imagine what the hue and cry would have been from Democrats in this country if that was a Republican? Now, they would have been, I got to tell you, if it was as bad as we're seeing with Joe Biden, and you have to admit it, it's not betraying your party to admit what we all can see. But can you imagine if Republicans engaged in this? What would be the hue and cry from Democrats? You'd hear it from Chris Murphy. You'd hear it from Dick Blumenthal. You'd hear it from Rosa DeLauro. You'd hear it from Jim Himes. You'd hear it from Johanna Hayes. You'd hear it from John Larson. And you'd hear it from Joe Courtney. Oh, my God, the Republicans are so craven enough to hang on to power that they clearly and systemically and to the detriment of this country, they misled the American people. My, that's almost treasonous. That's almost treasonous. We would be hearing that from them. Now, there are still Democrats, and again, with all due respect, you have Chris Murphy, who was on CNN Sunday and MSNBC yesterday. I have a little bit of that audio coming up later in the show in the 5 o'clock hour, probably. But you have him kind of being the surrogate for the White House, and he's tiptoeing around Mr. Biden's performance and say, well, the end of this week is going to be a big foreteller. And with all due respect, you're still getting word that Jim Himes wants Joe Biden to leave the race. Rosa DeLauro wants him in. He's one of the few people, I think, that's younger than Rosa. I think they're about the same age. But boy, you could tell, like I said yesterday, Rosa's chop chop. She's there. You listen to her on the House floor. God bless her. She has her mother's genes. Louisa DeLauro, in case you don't know, her mother was a longtime power broker in New Haven. She lived to 102 or 103. But I digress. So I see this... Wall Street Journal story, and then I look, and you have to laugh. This is from a paper in Oregon. Congressional Democrats urge a more robust Biden on the campaign trail, but few openly revolt. Come on, robust how? How? It flies in the face of logic. Now, I know they're probably being threatened. Hey, if you come out against President Biden and he wins, you, pal, are on the crap list for getting money for your district. Believe me, these threats are made. I've had former people in Congress tell me this. But everybody is, and you'll hear Chris Murphy later, well, Joe Biden's got to be more robust. Well, even if he looks more robust, what, who on earth right now? See, this is the part that just, and I understand for the Democrats and you folks who hate Trump out there, you people who love the Democrats, all right, that's fine. Vote for whomever you want. But you elect Joe Biden. Is there any notion with any amount of you breathing correctly and getting the correct oxygen saturation to your brain and your blood, you think Joe Biden is serving till he's 86? Come on. Now, I know what you're probably going to say. Well, Paul, there's really nothing members in Congress can do except give their honest feelings, which I would say, well, 98% of them aren't being honest. Come on. These people in Congress, you might not like them. They ain't dumb. They're not dumb or stupid. They got elected to Congress. They have a decent head on their shoulders. No matter what side of the aisle they're on, they see what's going on. Can you imagine, though, back to my original point, can you imagine If this was going on the Republican side, but why the hesitancy? Every single Democrat in the House and every single Democrat in the Senate should say with all the grace they can, Mr. President, step aside. But they continue to speak glowingly. Oh, Joe Biden, oh, my God, his record, which if you talk to half the country, is not the panacea and the nirvana everybody on the Democratic side is making it out to be. This is just, folks, this gets, and thank you for letting me vent here. I know I get paid to do it, but this is pure, unadulterated lunacy. The age thing is not going to get any better. It's not. His face looks like a window shade. I'm sorry I have to say that. He's looking more and more every day like Max Headroom. Go look it up. He looks like Fire Marshal Bill from In Living Color. And one major party in this country is saying, well, he's got to be more robust. More robust how? Exactly. This is mind-boggling, and it's dangerous for the country. You can hear the chuckles coming from Beijing and coming from Moscow.
What we're projecting from the White House is not strength right now at a very dangerous time around the world, and that's why the American people are so alarmed by this.
And that is Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson wondering aloud, what if this means more than just the 2024 election? What if this means something lacking in the Biden White House as far as leadership is going as he battles whatever ailments he may be dealing with?
Most of the Americans, people understand that Joe Biden is not fit for that office, and it's a terrible thing. The Democrats have misled us, and they need to be held accountable for that.
And again, there's two things we're talking about here, which I've been harping on. One, of course, is the election, and the other being what happens now in the preceding months here till the end of the year, till either Mr. Biden is inaugurated again on January 20th of 2025, or Donald Trump is, or stranger things happening, somebody else is. Joining us right now to talk about something that a lot of folks, save for a couple of members in Congress, don't want to mention here, the possible implementation of the 25th Amendment if Mr. Biden continues to slide mentally and physically, and he is surrounded and protected in the White House. Mike O'Neill's with us from the Conservative Landmark Legal Foundation, and he is the VP of Legal Affairs for Landmark. Hey, Mike, it's Paul again. How are you? Good to have you.
Good to be on with you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Mike. Outline for us this 25th Amendment, which we seem to hear every 5 minutes when Donald Trump was in office. Say for a couple of Republican members of Congress, including Speaker Johnson, there, no one wants to really go there publicly, but I got to believe some people have been thinking about it. So we heard about this during the Trump years. How does this work?
Mm-hmm. Right. It'll get a little, as we go on in our conversation here in the next few minutes, the political calculations will become obvious and why people don't want to talk about it. Well, Section 4, we're talking about the 25th Amendment, which was ratified in 1965, which is a fairly recent amendment. You know, we're always talking about hundreds of years. We think constitutional amendments back in a different age. But 1965 really wasn't that long ago. And it was in the wake of the John F. Kennedy assassination. And it was to handle presidential succession in the event that the president was incapacitated. Now, in this context, there's the applicable context for our discussion is Section 4, which again is applicable when the president is still alive, but is incapable of or is deemed incapable of executing his duties as his or her duties as president of the United States, and unable to do that. Now, inability is the term of that's inserted in the amendment, but the question is what actually amounts to an inability. Well, is it a physical or mental impairment that will prevent the president from performing his constitutional duties? Well, how do we determine what is a physical or mental impairment that prevents the president from doing his duties? It's a totality test. It's something we have to look at. There's no specific threshold for it, but it's what it is when certain individuals, i.e., in the amendment, it specifies the vice president and a majority of the principal officers of the United States. Now, principal officers of the United States, for all intents and purposes, are the 15 operative cabinet agencies, top cabinet agencies. So you have to have the vice president, along with the majority of those 15 individuals, decide that the president is unable to perform his duties. And for either a physical or a mental impairment. And if he cannot perform those duties, then they take a vote and a majority of those individuals vote. The vice president has to vote yes, and then a majority of the 15 have to vote yes. Then, for all intents and purposes, at that point, the vice president becomes the acting president. Well, the president, if he doesn't, and this is where I kind of flip in with Joe Biden, I don't think he'd want to go willingly.
Yeah.
If they activate Section 4, they hold that vote, the vote occurs, then president in this case, Kamala Harris, the vice president, would be acting president. The president, Joe Biden, would not want to would challenge that invocation, that activation of Section 4. Therefore, it would kick the matter to Congress. Within a few days, Joe Biden has to make a decision whether he's going to challenge that decision and not agree to it. Then Congress has the role to determine whether that the decision of the vice president and the majority of those principal officers holds. And what happens there is you have a vote in both houses of Congress. You have and two-thirds of each house has to vote in favor of removal. And then if that's the case, then Biden will be removed. If two-thirds don't vote for it in either house, so say two-thirds in the Senate vote for it, but only half vote in the House, that's not enough. You have to have two-thirds in both houses.
But
then Joe Biden is effectively deposed. So then we talk about the political aspect there. You can get into whether that would even happen or not. So that's the process. And it all happens. It's all designed to happen fairly quickly. Congress has to have that vote within 21 days after it gets referred to them, and the president has to decide within a matter of days after that vote by the cabinet-level position within a few days. So you're talking weeks if it's actually activated.
So this could start, Mike O'Neill, if I'm understanding you correctly, with as little as eight people. The vice president, I'm sorry,
nine.
President and 8 out of 15 cabinet members. So she could suddenly get up out of her chair and without counsel of anyone else, literally, now I'm sure she would refer to other people, but she could say, no, this is it. This can't go on for a few months. Save the election. Who is with me on this? So would she then gather, I guess? So would she call the cabinet meeting? Can a vice president do that? How would that work?
I mean, I would think so. Again, this is unprecedented. It's never happened. So there's really no procedures outlined. There are reports that certain academics have done on this. There's guidance from, again, academics. But this has never happened. This is unprecedented. So there's no real format or formula for how it would proceed. It would, as long as you're proceeding within the context of those requirements that I set forth, then you could do it. If they hold a vote, I would presume, again, this is me hypothetically speaking in an unprecedented environment, she would hypothetically call a meeting of the cabinet of the 15 principal officers, and then assuming she's already done the due diligence beforehand to see where they all weigh. But the important point here, Paul, is that these conversations need to be had. You know, we need to start having these conversations because, as you pointed out, it's July and we have the world is in a very serious, precarious position right now with war in Europe. The Chinese are being very active in what they're doing in the Pacific. There's war in Israel. It's a lot. There's a lot going on in the world. And President Biden has not displayed the mental acuity to, I mean, the dam kind of broke on the debate because everybody saw it for a lot of people. It was the first time they saw it. For people like me who've been seeing it for months, it really wasn't a surprise. But this is a conversation that needs to be had because, as you said, you know, we have months and months go by. Paul, it's interesting. I keep thinking back to the days of 9/11, you know, sure. when Bush had those terrible decisions he had to make in a very quick manner. So what happens if, you know, they've already admitted that President Biden doesn't work between after 4 and before 10. Mm. So what happens if 2 or 3 in the morning somebody has to knock on the president's door and says, you know, hey, Mr. President, China has launched 3,000 hypersonic missiles at Taiwan. What do you want to do? And he's not in a position to handle that. I don't have confidence that he's in a position to understand all of the ramifications of what would happen in that kind of instance, just from simply looking at him in the debate and looking at the speech he's given subsequently and his conduct subsequently. So I think this is a serious discussion that we need to be having, a separate and apart, as you pointed out, separate and apart from his decision to remain in the reelection contest for whether he's going to be elected and serve for 4 years for the second term.
Yeah, and Mike, I've got a thing, and the guest is Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Foundation attorney and VP of Legal Affairs. Mike, I've got a thing. Like everything else here, like this supposed plan B for the convention, this blitz primary. Mm. I mean, I've got to think that there are these plan Bs, and I've got to think now, especially over the past few weeks, that there's been mumbling about it. But, you know, people are just, I think they're too scared to even bring this up. That and one other thing. So the judiciary, Mike, would not have any role in this at all, right?
No, and that's again, here we are. This is all speaking with, you know, take it for a grain of salt because this is unprecedented. But generally, the consensus amongst the people who the individuals who drafted this, and again, this wasn't that long ago, 1965, was that this is a non-justiciable political decision. So this is a decision for the cabinet, and again, the principal officers, the vice president, and then for Congress. It's because you're essentially, what are you doing here? And again, this is a very I don't even enter into this calculus easily. This is a very serious matter. You're actually saying that you're having essentially nine people, as you said, the president or the vice president and a majority, overturning an election, opposing the president of the United States. This is a very serious matter. But as we've noted, these are unprecedented times that we're living in. It seems like, as you said, they wanted to pull out the 25th Amendment. The left was yammering on about the 25th Amendment every second with Donald Trump, but now nobody seems to want to be talking about it in this context, where I think it really, and I didn't think it was applicable for Donald Trump, and I didn't willingly come to this conclusion, but I mean, I just think the actions now, at least the question and the conversation needs to be had, whether this individual is compos mentis for continuing to serve out even these next 6 months. Because as you know, it happens quickly when you get to a certain point.
My father went through the same thing. I mentioned that over the past few days, but he had we don't know exactly what Mr. Biden may or not be dealing with. But I've been telling my listeners here, listening to him and watching what's going on, I'm flashing back to my dad. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that resonates with everybody. I mean, we all have elderly relatives, family members, parents, grandparents that go through these sorts of things, and it can go. You can see a difference in a month. I mean, you can go back a week. You can go visit your elderly mother or grandmother, and then a week later come by, and it's completely different. So it can proceed very quickly. And what's really concerning is it doesn't appear that Biden is circling the wagons. I mean, from all the reports we hear is that his son is now operating as de facto chief of staff and limiting contact between senior staff, so nobody can get to him. We know that the first lady is out there charging full bore ahead with ensuring that he maintains his power. You know, I think she's operated for a long time as his gatekeeper, and that's becoming even more pronounced now. And this is a difficult conversation. Again, I'm pro-election. I believe that the people speak, that these sorts of decisions need to be handled in the political forum. But there comes a time when difficult questions need to be asked and answered for the good of the country, and I think this is one of those times.
Absolutely. As always, Landmark Legal Foundation attorney, VP of Legal Affairs, Mike O'Neill. Mike, good to talk with you, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you soon, Paul.
All right, thank you. So there you go, folks.